They walked in silence, Debian calculating desperately as they reached a set of stairs and descended. He knew he couldn't escape. The after-effect of the black chains was just as it had been before, and he was completely unable to touch Khan. He could try to run. If he couldn't die, why not at least make the attempt? But, as if reading his thoughts, Hrethgar shook his head warningly.
"Not worth it, Debian. Not down here," he murmured.
Debian gave their surroundings an uneasy glance. Hrethgar's tone was solemn, and there was something off about this place, even if Debian couldn't put his finger on exactly what. For now, at least, he would see where this was going. After a few minutes, Debian frowned. The steel beneath his feet was beginning to vibrate, barely noticeably at first, but the quivering seemed to increase in intensity as they walked. Each step soon felt as though it were sending tiny shocks through his feet, and a low, uncomfortable buzzing began to press on his ears. The walls and ceiling around them were clearly affected, too. To Davian's eyes, they gradually began to blur with constant, furious motion. He wanted to ask what was happening, but Hrethgar didn't appear fazed, and Debian knew that he wouldn't get an answer out of the unsettling man, so he kept quiet. It didn't take long after that for them to arrive at the room housing the portal. The plates all around them were vibrating frantically now, a blur of steel, blue energy crackling and snapping furiously as if struggling to hold the individual pieces in place. The portal itself just hung in the center of it all, silent and menacing. A hole in the air that led to nothing. Debian squinted, at first thinking that it must be dark on the other side, but there was nothing at all. Just black. Theshaseth glanced back at Hrethgar and Debian, reptilian eyes glinting, then slithered through. Debian swallowed as Hrethgar pushed him closer.
"Is it supposed to look like that?" he asked apprehensively. "Not really," said Hrethgar.
He shoved Debian firmly through the hole. The thrum of the buzzing steel plates vanished. There was pain, something tearing at him, not just his body but his mind as well, pulling, clawing, grasping, raking at him from all directions. A flash of an unsettling familiar river of gray, though this time he was apart, somehow above it rather than within. And then he was stumbling out the other side of the portal and into madness. Chapter 10. A dull red crescent moon burned low in the cloudless sky, light seeping through the foliage overhead and barely illuminating Debian's surroundings as he burst through the other side of the portal. He stumbled to a stop, gaping at the disquieting sight of the shadowy forest's black and crimson tints before spinning, trying to get his bearings. The hole through which he'd just been pushed was no longer there. In its place stood a towering, twisting wall of gray void. Davian's stunned gaze traveled slowly upward. The barrier stretched impossibly high, curving inward slightly so that it loomed over him. The further up he looked, the more translucent the gray became, until it finally vanished, revealing the stark black of the night sky beyond. Stars shone up there, but the points of light didn't twinkle and glimmer as they should. Their light was cold, dead. Bewildered, he followed the line of gray to the right and then the left. There was no end to it that he could see. That gray river raging through the wall looked all too familiar, though. And the journey here had been not the same as when he had been caught on the rift in Dylanis, but similar. Too similar to be coincidence. He pushed up his left sleeve. No mark. The circle encapsulating the man, woman, and child vanished. Just clean skin once again. The question, then, was no longer just where he had been sent. It was when. He recovered himself enough to force motion into his legs, stumbling to the nearest tree and pressing himself flat against the enormous trunk, doing his best to still his breathing as he finally remembered the Dargaethan that had preceded him. Theshaseth would surely be looking for him. There was nothing, though. No sign of the creature or anything else living, for that matter. Everything was still.
He waited for a few more seconds and then exhaled, staring around at his new surroundings dazedly. He was in some sort of forest, a very old one, judging from the enormity of the trees. The trunks were as wide as 10 men standing shoulder to shoulder, and he couldn't even estimate how high some of them stretched. Moss covered many of the trunks, and vines hung everywhere, thin black silhouettes that added to the raw menace that exuded from every red-tinged shadow. He quickly spotted where the gray wall curved around through the trees, far away to both his left and right, presumably unbroken, though the thick-leafed foliage hid much of it. It looked as though it was some sort of encircling barrier, which meant that at least for now, there was only one clear way forward. He kept his back pressed against the rough, dark bark of the tree, gathering his thoughts. After a year of almost complete isolation and routine, the events of the past day had hit him hard, shaken him, even prepared as he had been for something to happen. After a while, his pulse slowed and his breathing steadied. Whatever this place was, he needed more information. If it was a prison, then where were the guards? Where was Theshaseth? He started walking, the red light of the moon filtering through the branches above as he struck out in the only direction that wasn't obviously toward the wall. The air here was hot and dry, each breath feeling as if it took just a little more effort than it should. No moisture beaded on the foliage around him, the leaves papery dry to the touch and twigs cracking beneath his feet. There was an unnatural stillness, too. No chirping of birds or buzzing of insects. Just silence. He reached for Khan automatically, thinking to extend his senses out, spot any danger before he simply stumbled upon it. Based on his previous experiences, the effect of the black chains should almost have worn off now. He stuttered to a stop. There was no pain when he cleared his mind, no resistance when he searched for the shadowy power. But there was also nothing there. He closed his eyes, concentrating this time, brow furrowing. Even while unable to use it, he'd always been able to sense Khan. After a moment, his anxious tension loosened a fraction. It was there. Just different. He frowned, examining the energy now, trying to determine what felt wrong about it. The process of grasping Khan was always tricky, but this was as if it was further away somehow. Distant. He reached for it. Nothing happened. He tried again, more urgently this time, stretching. Again he failed. He knew immediately that this was different from when he'd first been learning under Melshash, or the added difficulty of handling Khan within Talon Ghul. It wasn't slippery, wasn't difficult to manage. He simply couldn't reach it, couldn't touch it at all. He shivered, a surge of panic threatening to overwhelm him as he realized that he wasn't drawing essence from his surroundings anymore. Even his most instinctual use of Khan was gone. Heart in his throat, he checked his reserve, still almost full. He released a shaky breath. That was interesting. A relief, but still, even more confusing. If he really had just traveled through time, then any essence within his body should have been ripped away. For now, though, the reason it hadn't didn't matter. The reserve was as large as he'd been able to make it, and he had taken a good amount of essence during his conversation with Cassandrid. It should last him months, if he was careful. And he wasn't going to die here. Reminding himself of that eased his nerves somewhat, even if it couldn't completely dispel his reflexive anxiety at not being able to draw essence. It was like swimming through a tunnel underwater. Knowing that he would eventually surface made holding his breath bearable, but the need to breathe felt no less urgent. Davian pressed on, more tentatively than before, experimenting cautiously as he went. He tapped his reserve the way one of the gifted would, breathing out in relief as a tiny ball of light appeared up ahead. He'd had very little practice using essence without Khan, though he knew the theory as well as anyone after his studies in Kaladel. Manipulating essence like this felt messy, wasteful. Compared to the efficiency of funneling it through Khan, it was like requiring an entire river just to wash his hands. Still, if he needed to defend or heal himself, he could, even if doing so would deplete his finite supply. He let the essence light dissipate. He could see well enough by the red moon's eerie illumination, and kept moving. He had been making his way methodically through the tangle of vines dangling from thick, low-hanging branches for less than 5 minutes when he caught the flicker of movement up ahead. He slid carefully into the shadowed concealment of a nearby tree. The red-rimmed silhouette of a serpentine head materialized beyond the foliage in his path a moment later, and Davian held his breath, careful not to move. Another figure quickly appeared behind the Dargaethan, the outline similar to a man's but too tall and thin, looming over even the bane. Its movements seemed off, jerky, like those of a marionette in the hands of an unskilled puppeteer. A second humanoid figure appeared, slightly shorter than the first, then a third. All were outlined against the sharp red light of the moon, features doused in black shadow. The group didn't appear to notice or be looking for him. They moved along together, silent, heads occasionally swiveling to the sides, but not with any particular purpose. Before long, they were lost again behind the thick-trunked trees. Davian vacillated, trying to decide if he should follow. The risks were obvious, but he had no idea where he was or about the situation here. He had no food, no water, no shelter. He glanced up at the towering gray wall curving around in the distance to either side. His choices of direction remained limited for now, anyway. Best not to take any more risks than were necessary at this point. He angled off away from where the Dargaethan and its companions had disappeared, keeping an eye in that direction in case they doubled back for some reason. The forest pressed close as he walked. He kept his bearings by occasionally checking the walls to the right and left, ensuring that he wasn't straying closer to one or the other. After a few minutes, he noticed that the trees were beginning to thin, and within one more he had reached the edge of the forest. He stuttered to a halt at the tree line, staring blankly. He was at the top of a gentle rise which overlooked the beginnings of what appeared to be a massive city. One in ruins, though. Silent. Dead. Davian frowned, brow creasing as he took in the mass of buildings, sandstone structures, illuminated deep red or shadowed pitch black in the disconcerting moonlight. This was unlike any city he had ever seen. There were no streets to speak of at all, and no apparent order to the mélange of stairs, tunnels, and snaking pathways that wound their way up to, around, and over the buildings. Worse, half of the structures he could see had collapsed, the facades of many buildings completely gone. Everywhere he looked, there were deep shadows in narrow alleyways that seemed to simply end, while others branched out in confusing, haphazard directions, no apparent pattern to their layout. He stayed there for another few minutes, watching carefully for any sign of movement. Clouds of dust occasionally appeared, tinged red in the light, but they appeared to be from the slight dry breeze, rather than having been stirred up by something else. Otherwise, everything was still. Davian eventually stood, brushing off his clothes. He hadn't spotted anything to be concerned about, and there might be supplies that he could recover from the debris. A weapon, even. He hurried down the slight incline and scrambled over the first pile of rubble, which he realized must have once been a low wall surrounding the city. His footsteps crunched on loose rock as he reached the outer area, the sound muted, swallowed by the heavy shadows. Davian's disquiet intensified as he drew nearer to the close-set looming structures. Charred spots were now visible on the sides of some, where walls had seemingly been blown apart. Davian couldn't help but wonder if those marks had been made by essence. Some sort of battle? He peered into the inky shadows of the ruins as he passed, trying to spot anything that might be of use to him. There was nothing, though. It was as if these places had all been stripped, picked clean. He chose to follow the perimeter for a few minutes rather than attempt to navigate the maze itself, moving cautiously, muscles tensed and ready to react to any sign of movement. There seemed to be no end to the buildings, and many of them were tall, almost towers. This city had to have housed tens of thousands of people, maybe more. So where had they all gone? Finally, he steeled himself and turned down one of the alleyways that led inward, away from what he felt was the comparative safety of the open air. The buildings that menaced him on either side looked to be as empty as the ones on the outer edge, though. The alley quickly narrowed to an impassable crack, so he took a nearby stairwell, following it up and then through several quick, sharp twists. The high buildings on all sides made the process confusing, and it was only the glow of the red moon that allowed Davian to keep his sense of direction. Oddly, though some time had passed, neither the crescent nor the dead stars around it seemed to have shifted across the sky at all. He emerged onto a pathway, still elevated. The way ahead was wide, almost a street, but felt narrower thanks to a series of crumbling buildings that rose several stories high on either side, forming a sort of unnatural canyon. He was so focused on looking inside each of those structures that for the first few seconds he didn't even notice the bodies. He froze as the first figure caught the corner of his eye, hanging limply as it was from the second story of a building he was passing. He didn't move for a long moment, then forced his gaze upward. A chill ran down his spine. Illuminated starkly in the red moonlight was the lifeless form of a Dargaethan, a black outline against the red-tinted wall. A single, thin spear of jagged rock protruded from its mouth and pinned it firmly to the stone behind. Davian's heart began to pound as his gaze traveled to the next body a little higher on the building. And then the next, and the next. He took a step back, breath shortening to nervous gasps as he finally grasped what he was seeing. Every building along this way had Dargaethan corpses pinned to its facade, hanging motionless in the eerie light. 100 at least, maybe more. He forced himself to calm, assessing. The bodies were broken, many necks at odd angles, the serpentine figures mangled as if they had been smashed by some massive unseen force. There was no particular arrangement to the bodies. They seemed to have been pinned to the buildings as a means of killing them, rather than as some sort of sick display. Still, he considered retreating, then shook his head firmly to himself and pressed forward, searching for a body hanging relatively close to the ground. The rough spears pinning the Dargaethan were the closest things to weapons that he'd seen. If the stone spikes were good enough to kill the creatures, it was worth having one with him. He soon spotted what he was looking for. The corpse's tail dangling almost within reach. He hurried over, swallowing his nerves as he slipped into the heavy darkness of the building's shadow. A closer look at the creature made him flinch. It looked as if it had died in terrible pain, the thin stone fixing it to the wall having somehow speared beneath its scales and through its throat. The massive wound there suggested that the Dargaethan had thrashed around long after the blow that had ultimately killed it. Davian hesitated, then carefully tapped his reserve, sending out a thin tendril of essence and trying to wrap it around the sliver of stone. The black blood that slicked its surface seemed to act almost like the bane's scales, though. Without the fine control of Khan to help, his thread simply slid off the spear without gaining purchase. He scowled silently, then used more essence to strengthen his arms and began dragging over a large piece of rubble to stand on. He was hesitant to use even these small amounts from his reserve, but the opportunity to obtain a physical weapon was too good to pass up. The heavy stone made a grinding sound that echoed painfully through the empty structures around him. Davian winced at the noise, pausing and lifting his head, scanning the wide pathway for any sign that he had been heard. There was nothing. He moved to begin pulling again, and then froze. A sound. Definitely not from him. A wet, regular crunching. Nearby, too. Davian straightened, turning to face in the direction of the noise. Leaving his arms strengthened, he crept forward farther into the shadows of the hollowed-out building, sidling up to a window that looked down into the adjoining alleyway. The Dargaethan was easily visible in the red moonlight. It was bent double over something, its back to Davian, and body blocking his view, grotesquely muscled arms tearing at whatever was on the ground. Then it abruptly paused, its serpentine head flicking up and swiveling to stare around, revealing what it had been hunched over. Davian bit back a gasp. The mangled remains of what was clearly another Dargathan lay in a raw pile in the middle of the street, scales torn off and flesh shredded. Black blood surrounded it in a pool, as well as dripped from the hands and face of the Dargathan that was now moving, as if somehow sensing Davian's horror. The Dargathan slithered off to the side, out of Davian's sight. Its motions were erratic, though, as if it was only sporadically remembering how to move. Davian held his breath until he could no longer hear the sound of the Dargathan's scales against the stone of the street, shuddering to himself as he peered again at the mangled corpse. They ate one another? That felt wrong, even for Baines. But there was no denying what he'd just seen. He made his way back over to the piece of rubble he'd been moving, hesitant to make more noise, but painfully aware of his need for a weapon now. The stone rasped over the ground as he dragged it, but thankfully it was in place quickly. He tore a small bit of cloth from his shirt and then leaped atop his makeshift step, balancing precariously and reaching up to wipe the black blood from the revealed shaft. Once that was done, he strengthened himself with essence, braced to pull. There was a dark blur from the corner of his eye, and then he was being smashed to the ground by a heavy black thrashing force, his ribs snapping with an audible crack. He croaked a cry as the new Dargathan's bloodied maw opened and snapped at him several times in quick succession, only his essence-enhanced arms saving him from having his face torn off by jagged teeth. He summoned more energy and desperately pushed, upward and away. The snake-like bane flailed as it flew through the air, crashing hard into the wall opposite, and then to the floor in a cloud of dust. Davian gasped as he flooded essence to his caved-in chest, the bones rapidly joining, his collapsed lungs expanding and filling with air once again. From the corner of his eye, he could see by its rapidly growing shadow that the Dargathan had barely been dazed. He rolled and scrambled to his feet. "Just wait," he said to the creature, holding out his hands to show that he had no weapon. "I know you can talk. We can—" The slavering Dargathan leaped at him, jaws snapping together with maniacal fury, as it tried to bite him yet again. Davian dove to the side, eyes wide, panting as he tried to recover. There was something terribly wrong with this creature. Even the way it looked at him was different from that of the other Dargathan Davian had come across. Less intelligent and more crazed. It was hard to tell in the dim red light, but Davian thought that its eyes were bloodshot too. The creature came again. Davian moved more smoothly this time, allowing it to narrowly miss him, and instead smash itself into the wall with a thundering crash of broken stone. He quickly maneuvered himself out toward the open path, wishing desperately that he were able to step outside of time. Even so, when the Dargathan attacked for a third time, Davian was ready. He dashed to the side, bracing himself atop the stone he had placed earlier, and leaping, his essence-enhanced reflexes and strength allowing him to tear the stone spear free from the skewered Dargathan on the wall. He kept his momentum and spun in midair, hanging. He hurled the spear as hard as he could. He missed. The unbalanced stone sheared off the scales of the Dargathan's cheek with a shower of sparks. The creature flinched away, shocked, as the weapon crashed to the ground behind it. Davian cursed, but managed to land smoothly, crouching and sliding backward through the rubble as he came to a halt. He tapped his reserve again as the Dargathan slithered forward, lightning fast, recovered from Davian's failed attack. He fumbled with the unrefined power of essence as the creature closed on him, then desperately snaked out a tendril, wrapped it around the cleaned part of the spear, and pulled. The rough weapon spun wildly toward him, red in the moonlight where flecks of black blood didn't spray from it. Davian snatched it from the air, ignoring the burning in his hands as he touched the dark substance on it, putting all his weight behind it, and thrusting hard just as the oncoming creature reached him. The unwieldy weapon frustrated him again as it smashed slightly upward of where he was aiming, scraping across the Dargathan's eye and into its forehead, jagged stone tearing into his hands at the shivering impact. The Dargathan floundered back, stunned by the blow, its left eye a mess of black blood. It steadied, and for a heartbeat Davian thought it was simply going to rush at him again, injured or not. Then, with another feral hiss, It slithered off into the surrounding ruins. Davian just stood there panting, every nerve taut as he watched for the creature's return, hands shaking. He finally registered the pain in them. He held one up, stomach churning to see rotting flesh and suppurating ulcers forming where the globules of black blood had smeared across his skin. He gritted his teeth, reluctantly setting his spear within easy reach, and then swiftly cleaning his hands with a torn strip of his shirt, relieved to see the unpleasant-looking damage rapidly fading as he forced more essence to the injury. Within a minute, both hands were healed. Once the process was complete, he checked his reserve. Still fairly close to full, but noticeably emptier than it had been a half hour earlier. As if to underscore his concern, there was a clattering from farther down the walkway. Davian drew back into the shadows and then glanced around, spotting nearby stairs leading upward, still in good condition. If he wanted to get a good look at whatever else might have been drawn by the disturbance, he would be better served moving to higher ground. He used another strip of cloth to collect and then clean the rest of his makeshift spear as he hurried quietly upward, traversing three winding flights before emerging onto an open, flat roof. He eyed the stone beneath his feet. It seemed solid enough, despite the missing wall below, and then lay on his stomach, worming forward until he was at the edge overlooking the elevated pathway. All was still. No people, no Dargaethan. Davian frowned, staying motionless, scanning the area below but not spotting anything of note. And yet he had heard a sound. He let his vision drift. This was one of the taller buildings in the area, giving him his first good view of the city. As he'd suspected, it was enormous. The close-set buildings stretched away well into the distance, though even from here he could see that damage was prevalent everywhere. Half of the buildings were jagged outlines, their facades crumbled away. In other places, he could see piles of rubble where entire structures had collapsed. His brow furrowed as he focused on a point in the distance, perhaps a mile away. A sharp yellow light shone upward in a long line, splitting the entire city in half, reflecting off the tops of the buildings, and tinting the slightly dusty air more strongly than the red moon. Davian peered along the line curiously, but there were too many things in the way. He couldn't see the source of the illumination. Then he spotted the figure. He squinted. It was sitting on a rooftop near the strange golden light, silhouetted against it. He wouldn't have seen it, or perhaps would have mistaken it for a statue had he not caught it shifting positions. It was staring down into the light, Davian thought, though he was far enough away that it was hard to tell. It was human, though. The more he watched, the more confident of that Davian became. He fixed the direction in his mind, and then scrambled back from the edge of the roof. There was still no sign of danger when he reached the walkway again, thankfully. Whatever he had heard before must have passed by. He didn't waste time, moving through tunnels, up and down stairs, and along paths and rooftops as quickly as caution would allow. He had no idea whether the person he'd seen would be friendly, but this place was too strange, too unsettling for him to keep enduring it without at least trying to make contact with someone. He made good time, even if for the entire journey it felt as though there were hundreds of eyes peering at him from every red-tinged shadow. He moved at a slow, crouching run where he could, carefully skirting or climbing the sharpest rises when rubble meant that there was no other way forward. Once, one of the darkest shadows underfoot proved to be a deep hole, into which he very nearly stumbled, losing his spear to its depths during his desperate attempt to recover his balance. After that, he used a sliver of essence wherever the red light from above was blocked. The light he had spotted splitting the city seemed to grow in intensity as he drew near, coloring the air a sharp gold above the buildings up ahead. He glanced at it occasionally, bemused by what it could possibly be. He rounded another corner. Only a single line of structures separated him from where the light was originating now, intense illumination filtering through jagged holes in the nearby buildings. Davian hadn't spotted the figure again since setting out, but he was confident that he had managed to keep a relatively straight line toward where it had been. He picked his way around the side of a building, then slowed to a shocked halt as he finally took in the source of the light. Perhaps 20 feet away from where he stood, the ground ahead just vanished. Bright yellow light poured upward from a massive rupture, a gaping wound in the stone which ran from left to right for as far as he could see. Davian couldn't begin to guess how deep it might go, but it was certainly wide, encompassing where at least 2 rows of buildings would have been, 50 feet, perhaps more. Hundreds of structures on the other side had been sheared completely in half, and Davian could only assume that this side would look much the same. As he crept closer, a barely audible hum tugged at his ears, seemingly emanating from the depths. He swallowed. There was no way of crossing the gap, as far as he could tell. Where the earth had been rent, the stone itself was glowing, as if it had somehow been infused with pure energy. Davian still didn't think it was the light of essence, though. This was somehow dirtier than the illumination that would have provided. The yellow was hazy, smudged, as if saturated with greasy smoke. He rubbed absently at his ears as he finally tore his gaze away from the sight, scanning the rooftops for any sign of the figure he'd seen perching there earlier. There was nobody up above, but it didn't take long to spot whom he was looking for. The man, it was a man, Davian could see now, had moved. He was seated at the very edge of this side of the chasm, the zigzagging lip angling him towards Davian. His legs cast strange shadows in the air as they dangled, the yellow light highlighting his narrow features. For a moment, he looked almost familiar. Davian frowned, studying the streaks glistening on the man's unshaven cheeks. Bloodshot eyes gazed blankly down into the light, though the glare must have been painful. Strands of black, unkempt, curly hair hung limply around the stranger's face, which bore a vicious bruise just beneath the left eye. Most likely a prisoner, then. Certainly not someone who looked as if he would pose a threat. He hesitated, then stepped out of the shadows and politely cleared his throat. The man gazing down into the light started violently, twisting without taking into account where he was, and then scrabbling backward desperately as the motion almost sent him sliding over the edge. He ended with an ungainly half-roll, half-crawl away from the chasm, finishing a few feet away from Davian, who suddenly felt tempted to pretend he hadn't been watching. "Sorry," he said, sheepish as he walked over, and leaned down, extending his hand. The man glared up at him. He was older than Davian, perhaps in his early 30s, and now that he was no longer staring into the golden light, his sharp ice-blue eyes were filled with a mixture of embarrassment and anger. He didn't take the proffered help. "I'll take it," he muttered, shifting slightly back from Davian again before getting gingerly to his feet on his own. "There's not supposed to be anyone." He trailed off, peering at Davian. "Why are you out here?" He spoke oddly. The language was Andaran, but the accent was hard to place, enunciated more carefully and precisely than Davian was accustomed to hearing. Before Davian could answer, the man let out a groan and crumpled to his knees, face twisting. Davian took a couple of uncertain steps forward. "What's wrong? Are you—" He trailed off. There was something on the man's arms. The sleeves of his tattered shirt were rolled up, and each arm looked as though it were encased in shadow, except that this shadow was glistening, liquid as it writhed from wrist to shoulder. The man followed Davian's gaze, his anger dissipating into resignation. "So, now you know why I am out here," he said weakly, apparently assuming that Davian would recognize whatever was afflicting him. "But that does not explain your presence." He squinted. "I don't recognize you. Are you even from Istaris's section? Who are you?" Davian shook his head dazedly. "I'm Davian. I only just arrived." The stranger stared in disbelief and then issued a short, bitter laugh. "I know the name. You're the one they were looking for. You're supposed to be—" He trailed off, looking even more perplexed. "What do you mean, only just arrived?" Davian was saved from answering by the man's sudden staggering weave to the side, followed quickly by his eyes rolling back into his head. The wiry man collapsed to the hard stone ground before Davian could jump forward to catch him. Davian hurried closer to the stranger, concerned but fairly certain that he shouldn't risk touching the dark, shiny mass covering his arms. It wasn't the same as the Dargathan blood from earlier. In fact, in a lot of ways it looked worse. It seemed to crawl along the skin as if alive, rippling, caressing it in a most unsettling manner. He screwed up his face. Whatever it was clearly hurting the man, killing him probably, judging by his waxy skin and labored breathing. He knelt down and stretched out to touch the stranger's forehead, then snatched his hand away as the substance reacted to Davian's presence, pulling upward like inverted drops of tar toward him. It didn't surrender its grip on its current victim's flesh, though. After letting his thumping heart ease, Davian cautiously reached out again, keeping a wary eye on the unsettling, waving tendrils grasping in his direction. He swallowed, then tapped his reserve and began funneling essence into the man. At first, nothing happened, the glistening mass somehow resisting the flow, forcing Davian's healing energy away from where it was attacking. Davian almost flinched back as he felt the depth of the injury to the man's flesh, tiny threads of darkness burrowing down into muscle and bone, sucking out life and leaving rot and decay in its place. It wasn't just on the stranger's arms, but beneath his shirt, too, across his chest, almost down to his stomach. Davian gritted his teeth and pushed more essence into the man's body, flooding it with energy. Like a dam bursting, the black substance suddenly seemed to break, seeping away from the surface, its deep hooks dissolving as the damaged areas finally began to restore themselves. Color returned to the man's cheeks, and his breathing immediately eased to a more regular, relaxed rhythm. Davian exhaled and sat back, relieved his efforts had made a difference, but more than a little concerned about how much of his own essence he had just expended. His reserve was noticeably lower once again, and he had been here less than a single night. He looked around, then picked up the still unconscious man and half-carried, half-dragged him away from the chasm's edge, propping him up against a nearby wall. The stranger continued to breathe steadily, not stirring. It might be some time before he woke. Davian did his best to ensure the man was comfortably situated, then ventured again over to where the yellow light was spilling upward. It wasn't as blinding as it had first appeared, and to his surprise he was able to see a fair distance into the depths without difficulty. He stared downward for some time, studying the abyss. The split in the earth ran as deep as he could see. Some of the light was emanating from the sides of the chasm. The broken stone surfaces were coated in golden luminescence, though that light was broken by dark holes, tunnels, judging from their regular size and shape, that had been sliced in two by whatever cataclysm had happened here. Davian tested the anchoring of a nearby piece of stone, and then used it to lean slightly, peering over the edge. The abyss stretched downward, ultimately disappearing into a haze of burning yellow. The constant, low, vibrating hum seemed to be coming from the depths, noticeably louder when his head was poked out over the edge. He shivered, pulling back, rubbing spots from his eyes. What was this place? The clattering of loose stone against stone caught his ear. He spun, peering in the direction from which it had come. Down the line of the chasm, somewhere behind a huge chunk of broken wall, the sound came again. Davian didn't pause to think. He grabbed his unconscious companion under the armpits and dragged him as soundlessly as he could into the shelter of the nearest building. The entire facade was gone, but it still hid the both of them in deep shadow. Moments passed, the skittering of stone getting louder, whoever was approaching not trying to remain silent. Footsteps crunched close by, and Davian held his breath, willing the unconscious man next to him to not make a sound. A single figure strode into sight, silhouetted against the yellow light of the chasm and tinged in red from the competing moon. Like the figures Davian had seen earlier in the forest with the Dargathan, this one was too tall, limbs thin and stretched, movements jerky. It wore a simple pair of breeches, but was otherwise naked, nothing on its torso or feet. Then it turned, and Davian clamped his teeth together to keep from crying out. The man's hair, brow, and nose were normal, but his mouth... His mouth was a gaping hole of needle-like fangs, lipless and permanently open, stretching down from beneath his nose almost to his chin. The red moonlight reflected off those razor-thin, elongated teeth, and they glistened with beaded moisture as if they were coated in congealing blood. Davian's horrified gaze traveled up to where the creature's eyes should have been. There was nothing. That part of its face was just skin. The man's, creature's, head turned, pointing directly at Davian's hiding spot. It paused, cocked its head to the side slightly, as if puzzled. Davian's heart pounded, and he kept perfectly still, fearful that any motion, even something as slight as pulling back farther, might somehow be detected despite the creature's apparent lack of sight. The monster delayed a moment longer, and then continued to sweep the area with its eyeless gaze, bulging muscle rippling along its bare arms and chest as it moved stiffly. It was strong, clearly, even if its movements did not appear particularly coordinated. It gave a soft, rasping sound. There was a strange blur in the air, and then the creature was just gone, vanished. Davian crouched there, unmoving, for what felt like an age. Finally, when his aching legs couldn't hold their position any longer, he stood again slowly, stretching out and peering pensively along the edge of the chasm. There was no movement, no sign of the creature. He stared grimly at the glowing abyss, rubbing at his ears as that barely there hum tugged at his senses again. It didn't seem wise to do anything else until he found out more about this place. He settled back down into the shadows by the sleeping man to wait. Chapter 11. The blood-red moon still hung in the same position, refusing to give any indication of time's passage, when the man beside Davian finally groaned. Davian started, then positioned a hand near the stranger's mouth, ready to muffle any noise he might have been thinking of making. The creature Davian had seen had disappeared long ago now, but there was no telling what other horrors might be nearby. The man's eyes snapped open, reflecting the yellow of the chasm's glow. He immediately tensed, staring up at Davian, and then around at the building. Then his jaw went slack, and he levered himself up, raising a trembling arm up in front of his face. "El," he whispered, flexing his hand in disbelief. You did this." Davian nodded, relieved to see that the man didn't appear to be hostile. "I used essence," he explained. He didn't think that mentioning he was an augur was a good idea at this point. The man didn't say anything for a long moment, looking dazedly at his arms. "You are a Darisian," he said eventually. "I thought they killed all of you." "Thank you," he added, before Davian could decide how to respond. He looked up at Davian, resolve suddenly in his eyes. He held out his hand. "I'm Raylet." "Davian," said Davian, grasping it firmly, something inside him unclenching at the friendly gesture.
"Davian. I know that name," Rayleth squinted. "I remember now. You said you had only just arrived?"
His emphasis on the last part was unabashedly dubious.
"I came through the portal earlier tonight. I've only been here for this one evening," Davian confirmed, a touch defensively.
"That doesn't make any sense."
Raylith rubbed his forehead, then held up a hand apologetically at Davian's mildly irritated expression.
"I'm not calling you a liar. Not exactly. But everyone else arrived at the same time, within seconds of one another."
He fell silent, the last statement clearly a challenge. Davian stared at him blankly.
"I don't know why I would have been different. I don't know anything about this place," he admitted, head spinning. "You said that there were others?"
"Thousands of us,
though not so many now, Rayleth conceded. We got here almost 3 months ago, right when this delightful mess,
his gesture encompassed the chasm and the ruined city both,
was in the middle of happening.
His skepticism faded to dazed disbelief again as he continued to examine his arm, as if not quite comprehending what he was seeing.
I recognize your name, you know. They've been looking for you.
Who?
The snakes. One called Thesurseth, especially. He kept coming around and asking about you. Seemed convinced that you were still alive for weeks after they gave up on everyone else. I remember because none of us could understand why they didn't just assume that you'd died along with all the others.
Rayleth gazed out over the chasm, looking grim at the memory. Davian nodded silently. He could only imagine what it must have been like here in the city when all of this destruction had taken place. His heart sank a little at the news that the Dargaethan were in control, though.
Do you know why he thought you were alive?
Rayleth continued. His tone was casual, but the way he eyed Davian showed that he was genuinely curious. Davian hesitated. Thesurseth would have been told that Davian's fate wasn't to die here, but saying so would lead to questions that he had no desire to answer right now.
I have no idea what's...
The ground started to tremble beneath Davian's feet. He stumbled backward in drunken fashion as a low rumbling permeated the air, his eyes wide as he instinctively made to brace himself against the nearby wall. Rayleth was grabbing him by the arm and pulling him hard in the opposite direction, though. Davian fell, and rubble smashed down onto the stone where he'd been standing a second earlier. Crashes echoed across the vast expanse of the city, and Davian saw one structure collapse entirely in on itself across the chasm. Massive chunks of stone vanished into the abyss, trailing yellow-tinged streaks of dust behind them.
Thanks, gasped Davian, as the shaking eased to a stop.
Rayleth brushed himself off.
I suppose this is your first tremor, too? They're fairly common here. It's good practice not to let things fall on your head when they happen.
Davian glanced across, offering a weak smile.
I'll try to remember that.
He got to his feet.
Seems like I could use as much advice as I can get. If you were willing to give it.
Rayleth said nothing for a few excruciatingly long seconds, the only sound, the irritating low hum that pressed on the air. Then he sighed, nodding.
It would appear that El has brought us together, and with him as my witness you've earned the help. I haven't heard of anyone infected by Dark who has lived to see another dawn. Figuratively speaking,
he amended softly.
Dark, repeated Davian. That black liquid?
Rayleth raised an eyebrow.
You really haven't been here, he said, sounding vaguely surprised. It's not the worst way to die around here, but it's close. If you see any, for the love of all that is good, do not let it touch you.
He glanced at the red moon without waiting for Davian's acknowledgement.
How long has it been?
An hour, suggested Davian.
Good. It's still before first bell, then. We need to move. We've been fortunate not to have any Algoriat find us out here.
Davian swallowed, scrambling after Rayleth, as he began walking.
You're talking about those creatures with no eyes?
Algoriat were supposedly the rarest and most dangerous of the Banes. According to legend, details about them were so scarce because so few who encountered them lived to tell the tale. Rayleth cast a sideways glance at him.
You've seen one?
There was a group following around a Dargaethan earlier, and one wandered past while you were unconscious,
Davian admitted with a shiver.
That's why I dragged you into the building.
Rayleth blanched.
That close? And it didn't see you?
He asked disbelievingly.
We were in the shadows, behind a wall,
Davian assured him. Rayleth snorted.
Doesn't matter, he said morosely. I don't know how they see, but it's obviously not like you or me.
darkness doesn't seem to affect them at all, and stone not much more.
He shook his head dazedly.
El was watching over us clearly. This far away from camp, they would have eaten us for sure.
He glanced around nervously.
We should keep the talking to a minimum until we get somewhere safe. Their hearing is quite good.
Davian swallowed the several burning questions on the tip of his tongue, the memory of that gaping maw of needle-sharp teeth making him acknowledge the statement and follow as noiselessly as he could, mimicking Raelith's sure steps as they started walking. They kept to the edge of the chasm for a while, the journey proceeding tensely but without incident. Eventually, Raelith gestured, and they angled away from the yellow light, their progress slowing as they began picking their way through the darker red-tinged ruins. Finally, Raelith held up a hand, bringing Davian to a halt.
"We are getting near the camp. The Algoriat shouldn't be a problem here," he said, voice still a whisper.
Davian released a breath in relief.
"Camp?"
He peered ahead, though he couldn't see anything notable.
"Where? How many people?"
Raelith jerked his head to a nearby building, almost a tower, inside which stood a mostly intact stairwell.
"Better to show you."
Davian frowned, but trailed after the other man, climbing carefully to the top of the structure and out onto the roof. The buildings here all had these rooftop accesses, it seemed. Raelith guided him over to the edge, then gestured. Davian's eyes widened. The flickering yellow-orange illumination of small fires spilled out of various structures for almost as far as he could see. Occasionally, a shadowy figure would cross by a window or doorway, briefly silhouetted before passing from sight once again. There appeared to be groups populating different areas of the city, one directly below, and then the others segmented out, each batch of fires clearly separated by a combination of stagnant red moonlight and stark darkness.
"There must be hundreds of people here," Davian murmured, stunned. "Closer to 1,000. It's late. A lot of the fires have already gone out."
Raelith shrugged at Davian's disbelieving look.
"There used to be a lot more of us. Probably 3 times our current number when we first arrived."
Davian shook his head dazedly, still studying the scene. What looked like a large, man-made lake sat a short distance beyond the lights. Davian licked his lips at the sight, suddenly reminded that it had been far too many hours since he'd had anything to drink. Essence sustained him, but that didn't mean his mouth and throat weren't dry.
"What would happen if someone else saw me?" he asked quietly, gaze focused on the rippling water.
The dotted lights stood squarely in between. Raelith squinted at him.
"You're going to be seen," he said slowly. "Why do you think I brought you here, exactly?"
Davian frowned. He trailed off, horror seeping into his tone as he realized what Raelith was saying.
"You want me to join you down there? But you're prisoners."
Raelith snorted.
"We're prisoners. Unless you have some way of getting out of here that I'm not aware of."
"But no one else knows about me yet," Davian protested.
"And they don't have to. Choose a different name. No one will guess who you really are," said Raelith firmly. "I am sorry if I gave you false expectations when I said I'd help. But you have to understand how things work here. There's no food aside from the rations Istaris gives out, and that lake is our only source of water. Those people you see down there aren't just here because they're afraid of what's out there. They're here because this is the only place where anyone can survive."
Davian's heart sank.
"So, if I do join you down there, what happens if someone figures out who I am and turns me into the Dargaeton?" "They won't," Raelith assured him. "A few might realize you're not from this section, but there's always someone moving from area to area, looking for a new team to take them in. And the snakes circulated your description, but I guarantee that nobody will remember after this long. I certainly didn't until you said who you were.
he shrugged.
As for the snakes themselves, they have trouble, sometimes, telling humans apart. You should be fine. Besides, there's only Istaris in our section, and she always stays in the same place for metal delivery. More of them died than humans when we got here. The transition disoriented them more than us for some reason. We took advantage where we could. You might go weeks without even seeing one now.
Davian scowled, though more to himself than to Raelith this time. Every time the other man gave him answers, Davian found more questions arising.
One, Dargaethan is guarding all these people, he said, deciding to focus on one thing at a time.
One here. Each other section south of the breach has one too, corrected Raelith. And it's the Dargaethan, plus a couple of hundred hungry Algoriat.
Davian rubbed his forehead.
Oh, I thought you said there wouldn't be any of those to worry about here.
Raelith gave Davian a rueful smile.
You misunderstood. They just don't eat us here. As long as we follow the rules, he amended bleakly. They don't seem very intelligent, but they're certainly smart enough to obey the snakes.
Davian felt his shoulders slump. He had no way to know whether Raelith was telling him the truth. Khan remained frustratingly out of reach, which surely meant that his ability to see lies was also not working, but it felt as if he was being honest, which made everything he was saying somehow much worse.
Why are all the fires so spread out, even within the different sections? He asked, gazing out at the scattered points of light.
He could see inside a few of the buildings where the flames crackled. Though there appeared to be room for plenty more, only a few dejected-looking figures were slumped in each, as far as he could tell.
Surely it would be better if everyone stayed together.
It would be, agreed Raelith. But we're not allowed to gather in groups of more than four. That's one of the snake's rules, one which I've seen the Algoriat enforce too.
His mouth twisted with distaste at the last. Davian opened his mouth to ask more, but Raelith shook his head firmly.
I know you must have 1,000 questions, but I need to get back. I can probably convince my team to let you join us. We're short one anyway, and they were desperate enough to take me in a few weeks back. But only if they're not in the midst of wondering why I snuck away tonight. If they ever find out I was infected.
He grimaced at the thought.
I'll return as soon as I can.
Ah.
Davian shuffled his feet, feeling an abrupt sense of abandonment.
What am I supposed to do in the meantime?
Raelith shrugged, glancing down at the city.
Go to the lake. Get some water. Then come back up here and wait. Don't worry if someone sees you tonight, but stay out of sight once you're back, especially after you hear first bell. Idle hands will get you noticed more quickly than anything else during work hours. I'll return after last bell tomorrow with food. And a plan, he added firmly.
Davian almost protested. The idea of just hiding, of leaving his fate entirely in this man's hands, was one with which he hardly felt comfortable, particularly given his inability to see whether Raelith was deceiving him. The lack of that ability, after so long taking it for granted, his lack of access to Khan as a whole, in fact, made him feel naked, terribly vulnerable, something only made worse by his ominous surroundings. Eventually, though, he nodded. Partly it was the lack of a better choice. Partly it was events catching up to him. After a year in the silent calm of his cell, the shock of the past evening, had it been only one night, was wearing on him. And partly, too, there was just something about Raelith, about the man's earnest demeanor, that Davian trusted. Oblivious to Davian's thoughts, Raelith clapped him on the shoulder, taking the nod as a sign of acceptance.
Good.
He headed for the stairs, then threw a glance over his shoulder.
Welcome to Zavelar, he added wryly.
It was at least half a day later, though impossible to tell exactly how long under the frozen glower of the red night sky, that Davian heard the crashing of stone below. He rubbed his eyes. He had been half-dozing, huddled up against the low stone of the roof's edge, trying to rejuvenate himself without using more essence. He was thirsty again, frustratingly. He'd made it to the lake and back without any problems before the juddering ring of a deep bell had echoed across the city, but he'd had nothing with which to carry any water back. The sound of stone against stone came again from somewhere below, and Davian felt his muscles tighten. Everything had been deathly quiet since not long after that bell, when the camp had, briefly, come alive with activity, people marching along raised pathways and up and down twisting stairways with apparent purpose. There had been no chatter, though, just muttered whispers within groups, people moving in clumps of four or fewer, just as Raelith had said. Everyone had disappeared farther into the red-tinged city, and ever since there had been utter silence below. Davian hadn't been willing to risk venturing out again after Raelith's warnings. He shifted carefully, then peeked over the edge of the building, trying to see what had caused the disturbance. The crunching and scraping of loose stone came again, the rhythm uneven. And something else. A constant grinding, dragging sound. Directly below him now, on the lower floor of the same building atop which he currently perched. Davian tensed. There was nowhere to hide if someone came up here. There was abruptly motion below, something emerging from the hollowed-out shell of the building and into his vision. Davian recoiled, barely managing to clap his hand over his mouth to stifle a cry. Crimson light glinted off skin that was almost completely transparent, glass-like, revealing a mess of muscle and organ and fluid shifting unsettlingly just beneath the surface. The creature was dragging itself along with arms that ended abruptly in curved spines that sprouted outward, scraping weakly against the stone. The limbs to which those claws were attached were emaciated, far too thin for the bulky body that would have been at least 10 feet tall had the creature been standing. It made a wrenching motion, claws digging into rock, and hauled itself forward a few more feet. Davian's stomach lurched as its legs became visible. As thin as its arms, with glass-like skin that revealed shattered bones stabbing outward through torn muscle at multiple points. The creature's chest rose and fell quickly, and it twisted to face the sky, now staring directly up at him. A ruined maw revealed needle-like teeth grinding and slicing into its own flesh, many of the fangs broken off and dark blood dribbling down its chin. Its eyes, though, were wide. Intelligent. Human. Davian froze, heart thundering in his chest, resisting the urge to flinch back and possibly draw attention with the movement. Had it seen him? He realized what it was now, or what it would resemble anyway if its body were whole. An Algoriat. But its eyes were not covered over in flesh. Brown and scared, they flickered as the creature stared upward and Davian knew it had spotted him. It opened its mouth wide as if to speak or scream. A spear took it through the left eye, slamming into hard stone beneath and quivering there for a long, shocking second. Davian just lay there, frozen, as a slithering sound came from somewhere below. Then the sinuous form of a Dargaethan was by the dead creature's side, pulling out the spear with a short, sharp motion. The serpentine bane contorted its body to lean in close to the deformed Algoriat's face, studying it. It pulled away after a while, its sharp gaze raking the area. Davian didn't dare breathe, but the creature never looked upward. Seemingly satisfied, the Dargaethan proceeded to lean down and haul the deformed Algoriat onto its shoulder, the immense strength of its arms meaning it had little problem with the dead creature's weight. Then it was slithering away, leaving only a dribble of black blood and the steadily dissipating sound of scales scraping against stone. Finally, the camp was silent again. Davian just stayed where he was, every muscle taut, trying to block out what he had just seen. Eventually, he slid back and twisted into a seated position, steadying his shaking breathing. He knew he wasn't going to die here, but right now, That was barely a comfort. He didn't move again for a long time, peering over the edge only once the booming bell rang out again, and he heard the sounds of people returning. The groups were once again moving together, everyone looking dusty and exhausted, clearly drained from whatever tasks they had been set. It was another few hours before he heard the soft footfalls making their way up the stairs. He held his breath, then let it out again silently as a tired and grimy-looking Raelith emerged onto the roof. Raelith gave Davian a weary smile, half of his face shadowed by the angle of the red moon. Then he walked over and thrust out a hand. It was filled with a dark, leafy plant of some kind, though Davian didn't recognize it.
"Food," he explained. "Not much, but..."
He cut off as Davian grabbed it, barely giving it a glance before biting in. Prisoner though he'd been for the last year, he had at least been properly fed, and it had been more than a day since he'd had anything to eat. His stomach had been gnawing at his insides for hours now. He sputtered and almost spat out the vegetable, if that was what it was, before forcing himself to chew deliberately and swallow. Its tough outer surface had given way to a soft, soggy flesh that was extremely bitter.
"Sorry," said Raelith apologetically. "These things taste better cooked, but it would have raised too many questions if I'd been preparing but not eating it."
Davian forced another bite, hunger trumping any misgivings he had about the flavor.
"I'll survive," he assured Raelith between chews. "Thank you."
He swallowed. The bitter tang of the meal, small though it had been, burning his throat.
"I have a lot of questions," he added.
Raelith sat, gesturing for Davian to do the same, the motion barely visible in the darkness.
"Then let's start there for now. I'll answer what I can. Where are we?"
"The Dargaethan call it Zavelar, and that's about the most any of us really know. 20 miles, roughly, between the gray boundaries to the north and south. More than half of that is city. Perhaps 10 miles between the east and west boundaries. No way over or around or under. Trust me, we've tried,"
Raelith added dryly. Davian nodded thoughtfully.
"When are we?"
Raelith looked taken aback.
"Impossible to tell," he said. "Nobody I've met recognizes the city, and we seem to come from a range of eras. One member of my team was born almost a millennium after me, from what we can tell."
He squinted at Davian.
"How did you know?" "Well, it's not hard to see that time's not passing normally here," said Davian, gesturing to the stagnant red moon. "You said Theshaseth has been here for months, but he went through the portal only a few seconds before me. And you mentioned everyone else arriving at the same moment, too. It didn't seem like that much of a stretch."
He tried to keep his tone casual. There were other reasons that he'd assumed time travel, of course. The raging gray void of the surrounding walls, for one thing. But he didn't see the need to reveal that information to Raelith just yet. Raelith scratched his head.
"You are taking to the concept better than the rest of us did," he admitted,
issuing a soft laugh and seeming to accept Davian's explanation.
"Praise El for that. It wasn't a conversation I was looking forward to."
Davian smiled, though the expression quickly faded back to seriousness.
"So there's no way back that you know of?"
Raelith vacillated.
"Not that I know of," he agreed slowly, "though..."
Davian gave him an expectant look, and Raelith made a face.
"Our teams scour the city for anything made of metal, mostly iron or steel. And in return for meeting quota, the snakes give us food," Raelith explained. "That food comes from somewhere. There's too much of it for them to have some hidden store. And that metal is going somewhere, too. It has to be."
There was a note of barely restrained desperation to the last, an acknowledgement that he had only guesses. Davian contemplated. Hardly proof, but it was better than nothing.
"Any idea where they'd take the metal once you give it to them?"
"North," said Raelith. "Across the breach.
He nodded toward where the city-splitting illuminated chasm lay.
"There are ways over it?" asked Davian in surprise.
The gap was massive where he'd seen it, and judging from the refracted yellow light in the sky, the abyss stretched the entire distance between the eastern and western boundaries of this place.
"Just the one. Impossible for us to cross, though. It's heavily guarded."
Raelith shook his head.
"It's not an option worth exploring."
Davian frowned. There was a hesitation to Raelith's voice that suggested there was something he wasn't saying, but this was hardly the time to press. He tucked away the information to investigate later.
"So, everyone here is slave labor," he said. "That's where they all go, when that bell rings?"
"Essentially," admitted Raelith.
Davian peered down at the mess of paths and buildings below, parts of which were now illuminated by firelight. Then he let his gaze wander further to where the violent yellow of the breach lit up nearby buildings, and beyond that to the darkened, empty-looking outline of the structures beyond. If he wanted to find his way out of this place, it sounded like his path lay somewhere through there.
"So, if I join your team," he said eventually, picking up the previous thread, "we'd just be searching the city for metal while we're awake?"
Raelith chuckled humorlessly.
"If you want to put it like that," he said.
"Of course, we've all been doing this for nearly 3 months, so it's getting harder and harder to find what we need. And you have to avoid stepping in pools of dark, and getting trapped in collapsed buildings, and stray Algoriat, not to mention a dozen other things around here that could kill you."
He shrugged at Davian's expression.
"There's no point me making it sound easier than it is. You're going to find this out soon enough anyway, and El as my witness, it's not like the alternative is any better."
Davian swallowed, the unpleasant aftertaste of the food Raelith had given him still sharp against his tongue.
"So, what do we do now?"
"Right now? You sit there and you listen," said Raelith firmly. "The others won't pay you much attention. The days are too long and too hard to bother with conversation. And all anyone wants to do once they get back is get enough sleep to be capable of doing it all again tomorrow. Plus, people die a lot around here. It's easier not getting to know them."
He shrugged.
"But they will notice if you're ignorant about how things should work."
Davian grimaced, but dipped his head in acquiescence. He listened in silence for the next hour, gradually piecing together what life in Zavalar was like for the prisoners. The cataclysm that had shattered this place and rent the city had, apparently, occurred just as everyone had arrived, whether as a consequence of their arrival or for some other reason Raelith didn't know. The other man described stumbling into a nightmare of raging fire and shattering ground, and a strange red energy flecked with yellow, coating everything in sight. People and Dargaethan alike had fled, unable to tell between where was safe and where the ground was likely to swallow them whole. Many of the thousands who had been sent through hadn't survived that first hour. But it was only after the earth had stopped shaking and the fires had died down that the real trials had begun. Raelith described scavenging in the city in a calm and concise manner, but it was impossible to mask the horror that leaked through as he did so. The terrors that lurked around every corner sounded like a nightmare made real, no matter how matter-of-fact he managed to be about it all. Davian's heart sank as he listened. Part of him wanted nothing to do with any of this, but another part knew that he could help. His ability to wield essence would give him an edge that, according to Raelith, no one else here had, assuming, of course, that he could find a way to replenish his reserve. Not to mention that if he was going to figure out how to get back, and there had to be a way, then he needed more information. Finally, Raelith fell silent, and though he didn't look over at Davian, his anticipation was thick in the darkness.
"So," he asked eventually, "have I painted an enticing enough picture?"
"You make it sound delightful," Davian assured him drolly.
"But,"
Davian hesitated,
"why are you going to so much effort to help me? Why risk so much?"
It was blunt, but what Raelith had described was grim. A life where expending this amount of energy to aid someone, even someone who had just saved one's life, brought plenty of risk and very little reward. He wanted to understand the other man's motivations. Raelith said nothing for a long moment.
I thought El was ready to take me home last night. That's why I was out there. The Dargaethan take the corpses of anyone infected with Dark, and I didn't want them to have mine, he said, his voice soft. I was sitting on the edge of the breach, and I could feel the stuff eating at me. And even in this place, even with all that pain,
his voice cracked a little.
I didn't want to go. I closed my eyes. I begged El for more time.
He sucked in a breath.
And then you were there.
Davian blinked.
You're helping me because you think El sent me?
I'm helping you because I was reminded that as unknowable as El's plan might be, there always is one, even when we don't like where it takes us.
Raelith sighed. A truth that is most important to accept when it's hardest, unfortunately. I was losing myself to this place, but you turning up made me remember that. Well, he gave Davian a lopsided smile. Leaving you out here to die may just not be the right thing to do.
Davian snorted soft amusement at the last part, but nodded.